To the north there lies a city. This city is the crown jewel of the Sword Coast. It is known as Waterdeep. And within Waterdeep there lies a tavern, the Yawning Portal. Adventurers come from far and wide to see the Yawning Portal, to maybe peer into the well in the center that leads to the Dungeon of Undermountain. It is no stranger to violence. Bar brawls break out. Every now and then, your adventuring party sit around a cracked wooden table sharing tales of their good and nefarious deeds. The band plays in the background some silly little tune, but you pay it not much mind as your senses tingle as from below you hear a rumble. You feel the air suck out of the room. All eyes face the well leading to Undermountain. Again, a crash as emerges episode 18 of Tavern Tussle. Gentlemen, welcome to the 18th and only 18th episode of Tavern Tussle. As always, I am your host, Cam Bams, and I am thrilled to bring you my review of Waterdeep Dragon Heist. A little housekeeping to get out of the way. Andy's campaign is now over. We had our big boss battle fight with the undead warlock known as the Magdemore. You've been following along. The boss battle was tough. The fight itself took about 2.5 hours. It was extremely difficult. Ilduin, my character, the Blood Hunter, and Throck, Karadok's character, were downed multiple times. But alas, Throck is the only casualty. So that was fun, I guess. It was sad to see him go. But Throck is dead. Everyone else survives. So now we're putting that campaign on pause. And starting, not this week, but next, will be me DMing this wonderful adventure known as Waterdeep Dragon Heist. So let's just get into it, okay? What do I think about Waterdeep Dragon Heist? I'll tell you what I think. Dragon Heist is genius. I really believe this to be one of the best adventures released for 5th edition so far. Curse of Strahd is still my absolute favorite, but Waterdeep Dragon Heist, the narrative just flows so perfectly. It slows when the party needs a breath, and then it booms at just the right time with, of course, DM's discretion. It has story beats that are just unrivaled in the space. Like, it is engineering tabletop role-playing in a brand new way that we haven't seen before. I mean, it conveys the story it wants to convey, and the story is very good, but it leaves so much room for the DM and the players just to take it in any direction they want to at any given time. I mean, there's a lot of room for just excellent RP moments that will probably lead to a place where the book never says anything about. Like, their Waterdeep is so vast and is so lore rich, and there's something going on at all times. I mean, from the very start of the story, the party is rubbing shoulders and interacting with very important lore characters that they might not even understand what they're doing at the moment. They don't know who these people are. They don't know who they're involved with. And here they are sitting next to them at the Yawning Portal, and those people could very well be their arch enemies or allies they rely on heavily near the end. It all depends on how the story unfolds. And it's just genius. Because the story is so interwoven with space that the DM and the party really make this adventure whatever they want it to be. It still happens in the confines of the city, but there is a lot more combat than I was expecting. There are moments where combat is really up to the DM, story-wise, if he wants it to happen, and there are moments where I can see combat happening where there was no combat to begin with, just the way that parties will interact with the world itself. But yeah, there's a lot more in the actual book itself than I expected. I mean, there's not a ton of combat encounters, but it's a D&D adventure. So you have to have, you know, some kind of combat sprinkled in every now and then to keep up the pace, to keep, you know, those combat heavy players involved. But I think it's a really, really good balance. Now, they were marketing as an Italian Job fiasco story, but honestly, like, reading through the book multiple times now, like, Waterdeep Dragon Heist is very much more of a detective story. It's very Sherlock Gnomes, if you will. I mean, you just look at the very first quest of the adventure and you automatically get a sense of what's going. Like, the entire first quest it's like a script out of a detective drama. It's like they went to Sherlock's showrunner and like, hey, we need a first quest for our adventure about this, you know, hoard of 500,000 gold pieces. What do you got? And he's like, well, you know, you could do this detective romp through the streets of Waterdeep. And that's exactly what happens. Like, you are gathering clues from a multitude of sources. Like, this quest seems very simple on the outside when you read through it for the first time. But once you dig into the intricacies of what is woven in and little hints of things that seem to be on the outside of the quest, once you involve those and you see how a party reacts to it, you'll realize that, yes, they need to get from A to B. But along that way, there's C and D and E and F, and they can get clues for where they're trying to go through any of those places. And it's just, it's genius. It's genius. And I'm so excited to run it. I mean, it's to the point now where I almost guarantee that no two playthroughs of this game will be the same. I mean, yeah, aside from the fact that there are four villains and all that stuff, like, just the decision-making of the party will have a big role in deciding what goes down and when it goes down. So you can play through this multiple times with different people and have a totally different experience. I mean, the thought and care that went into designing these NPCs is very apparent from the very beginning. Like, there's so much life there. You know, usually it's like, oh, this shopkeeper looks like this, he has this. But no, like, most of the NPCs in the book are given motives. They're given a routine kind of thing. Like, it's wonderful. And that brings us to the villains, is they are so complex when you actually get down into it and you look at the way that the adventure flows. Because while a lot of elements are shared between all four villains, the way they come into play in the story is different. They deal with different locations at different times. They deal with different situations in different ways. And the way that the villain interacts with the party throughout the adventure is vastly different depending on who you choose. It's to the point where I'm actually thinking, depending on how the story goes, I'm going to start with one villain, and if the party goes a certain way, which I think they might, because I know who I play with, I might either switch that up to a different villain halfway through, or I'll have the two villains pair up and kind of use I think this guy's our ally, but then a twist at the end where it's like, oh, shit, he's not. And I just spoiled that because, of course. people I play with listen to the show. So whatever.
Forget what I just said.
Yeah, the story elements, they couldn't, of course, release four different stories all at once, but they did it in a way that makes sense because there are certain venues and certain events that happen in all four storylines, but they happen at different times and they happen in different ways. So it is very, very interesting to see that happen. Like the very beginning of the adventure, you do the quest for Volo, you get your piece of property, and I'm not spoiling anything. This has been out for months. And then there is this time that really lets the players develop who they are and what they mean to the NPCs in the city of Waterdeep. It lets them build connections. It lets them make enemies. There's all this time. And it's really nice because the adventure lends itself to that. Like, it lends to these, you know, wide open swaths of time that let the players do whatever they want, whenever they want, in a very controlled environment. So the DM doesn't have to plan for 1,000 different things. He knows what's going on in Waterdeep. She knows what day it is. You know, like, the DM has full control at all times, no matter what the party does, because they understand the ins and outs of Waterdeep. And this is beautiful because when something happens in the story, and I'm trying not to give any spoilers, but there was a moment in the story where a very big scene takes place. And once that takes place, the race is on. And that's when players will really feel that, you know, moment of, oh shit, like, we need to do something about this. This has to be done or else kind of thing. And the point, I do think that one of the villains, their reason for going after the Dragon Heist isn't that bad, honestly. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. But near the point, I won't say who that is. But yeah. And before that big moment happens, the players have interactions with pretty much everyone. I mean, the guards of the city, the city watch, the guilds play a big role. The factions of Waterdeep also have so much interactivity within them and the players that it's crazy. Like, you can very well find yourself part of opposing factions just within the party, just because of the way the faction dynamics work. You know, factions are looking for adventurers and people to join them, and your party will have a chance to join pretty much any faction in the story as long as, you know, they meet the requirements. And that's cool because it gives the players a sense of familiarity. It gives them a home. You know, it gives them people to reach out to when they're stuck. And that's very important because this is a detective story. There might be times where your party gets stuck on something and they're not sure what to do next. And having these factions that they belong to is kind of like this, you know, big brother helper who is busy doing other things so they can't focus on this is kind of nice. It gives a little padding for the DM being able to help the party out without just, you know, telling them what they need to do kind of thing. And that's very important. Even the shops around the building that they get in Troll School Alley after doing their first quest has so much life. Like, these shopkeepers have a reason for being there, obviously, but they also have, you know, things that they want to get done, and they have motivations to either help or hinder the party as it moves forward, which is kind of nice. There's a whole side quest having to do with one of the shops around the building the players get that is, it's pretty interesting because this character comes back into the story multiple times as you go through. And that's one of the things about Waterdeep is it's alive. There is always something happening somewhere in the city at any time. And one of the ways you go about knowing these things is what season the game takes place.
As I said in the last episode, what season it is determines what villain you have. And you can mix and match and all that stuff, but each villain was assigned to a season that makes the most sense for them. Now, if it's the middle of winter, it's going to be a heavy snow, it's going to be very cold, most of the action is going to take place indoors. Or you could have a big showdown in the empty streets of Waterdeep, that'd be pretty cool. You know, like, in the spring, it's going to be rainy. In the summer, it's going to be hot, more people are going to be outside playing in sprinklers or whatever. You know, in the autumn, there's going to be, you know, heavy winds. It's going to start to get chilly at night. So it'll affect how many people are out on the streets at night compared to the busy summer nights where it's cooler during the night. So more people go out at night during the summer, blah, blah. So, like, taking into account the season helps the DM understand where people are and what they're doing. And one of the most intriguing parts of the book, and I hope I'm going to say this right. Volos Enchiridion. Enchiridion. Volos Guide to Waterdeep. That's that's what it is. But it is an excellent source of information to both DMs and players. If a player wants to make a character that lives in Waterdeep, that has lived in Waterdeep their whole life, then let them read that part of the book. Like, there's no story spoilers in that part. It is just an in-depth guide to Waterdeep and how it functions. So anyone DMing this adventure needs to read that section, because it'll give you so much insight into the motivations of the Waterdavians, even the motivations of the villains. And it breaks down each section of Waterdeep. It tells you history. It breaks down what happens during the seasons, all these things. Like, it is a great source for all the things that you don't know about Waterdeep, because you want to run the game the way you want to run it. But if you're running it in a way that is, you know, factual and to the source material, like, knowing these things about Waterdeep is important. Now, I'm not saying you're going to use the days and the months and all that stuff, but if you do, like, you know, that's all in there. I know everyone uses, you know, Monday through Sunday, but there are some people who like, you know, having the days, you know, lined up, like Matthew Mercer when he just creates his own, whatever. But that last session of the book is really, really important for DMs. I highly suggest you read that entire thing. Some of it is a little dry because it's like a history lesson, but you'll be better for it because you'll understand the city more. And it's important to note that the city is a character just as much as any NPC is. Waterdeep kind of is the main character in this adventure. Because, yeah, you have your villains, you have your factions, you have the party, but Waterdeep is really what is most important. If you understand the intricacies of the city and how it works, you're going to have a great time with this adventure, because Waterdeep herself is going to be the star. And that'll make for very, very good storytelling. And it'll make for a most interesting game you could possibly make. So it's just important. Don't just throw that chapter to the side. Like, if you're running this, read it. And even if you're a player that's going to be a Waterdavian, you know, read it too. I mean, and just knowing how each district functions and what goes on in certain times of year around the city leaves hours of unwritten adventure just waiting for you to discover it. There are so many storylines going on in the city at any time that you can, you know, chance upon them or seek them out, kind of thing. And that chapter basically could be a book by itself, you know. So yeah. And there are some surprise moments in the story. I found myself really falling in love with the city of Waterdeep, and in particular some of the characters that I had no idea about that just jumped out at me. Like, there's a little box, this little section of three NPCs. They're called the Three Urchins, and it's just three children, and they're so interesting. There's art of them in the book and everything, and they just, it's one of those things where they're not important to the story overall, but they show up in all these little instances throughout the book that it's just, it's perfect. And it really shines a light on how alive the city of Waterdeep is and how important the people there are. Because here I was reading, you know, about this really interesting encounter that's happening, you know, outside this warehouse. But all I could think about was the three urchins that just passed by the party and what they're doing at the moment and how the party can interact with them. And I just think that it's just this foil to this adventuring party, because you have these seasoned adventurers that are knee deep in this dragon heist, if you were, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, there's just these three street urchins with life and personality, and you could easily work them into the story much more than they already are. Like, they're written in the book already, but, you know, like, how will the party react when they find them? And they just have so much personality in life, and I loved that little touch. And it just shows that when they made this adventure, they really did pay a lot of detail to the NPCs and Waterdeep itself. And not to mention, any NPC you find in the Yarning Portal is interesting. Like, there are so many people in there, and there are so many people that could be in there. And it's just one of those things, like, from the very beginning, like, you could throw anyone from the D&D universe you want to in there, and it leads to connections the party can make that are so interesting and can turn to stories just by themselves. But all in all, I think this adventure is going to be touted as one of the top adventures of 5th edition. I really do believe that. Not to mention it leads into Undermountain, the Dungeon of the Mad Mage. And it's going to be one of those things where, you know, like, I don't know if I'm going to want to continue into Dungeon of the Mad Mage. Like, I probably will, because Undermountain is exciting. But at the same time, like, there is still so much left in Waterdeep to do, even after the villain has been foiled. Even if the villain wins. And that's another thing. Even if the villain wins, the campaign is not over. The story isn't over. This is one of those times where the party can lose, and it doesn't mean the end of the world, and it doesn't mean the story is over. It's just another hitch you have to go through. And I really do think that even though it's levels 1 through 5, there is a lot of content to get through. And there's even chapters after the main story has taken place, which the party can continue on to, that are suggested at 5th level or above. So there's a lot to get done. But all in all, this adventure is a solid, solid 8.5 out of 10. And that is high, because I never rate anything a 10 out of 10. So hey. Yeah, I'm very, very excited. So yeah. That was my review of Waterdeep Dragon Heist. I hope I didn't bore you to tears. It's so hard to talk about it and not spoil things, because there are so many little Easter eggs in the book, and there are so many little intricacies in the story that if I talk about one certain NPC or one certain event, then I'm ruining part of the experience almost. But trust me when I say, if you play D&D, or, you know, if you run a D&D game or anything, you owe it to yourself to check this adventure out. It is very, very much worth it. I would rank it in my top three adventures they've released for 5th edition. It's just that good. So yeah. So do your favor. Go out. If you don't have a local game store, it'll be available on Amazon on the 18th. Of course, Dungeon the Mad Mage is coming to your local game store November 2nd. And so, yeah. If you want to get in touch with us, please email us, taverntussle@gmail.com. Tweet us at taverntussle on Twitter. And, yeah. Tell us what you think about Waterdeep. If you're a DM that's going to run it, if you're a player that just started it, you know, let us know what you're doing. Let us know what kind of characters you made. Let us know how it's going. But yeah, thank you to Purple Planet Music for the intro music. And as always, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you very much for listening. I am going to get back to planning my Waterdeep Dragon Heist campaign. Because while it is only levels 1 through 5, there is so much to do. And as always, I hope you have a wonderful week.